Some of the kids at camp wanted to pie me in the face for fun. And so I gave them a challenge that if they memorize my two favorite verses in the Bible at any time in their life, if they come up to me and quote Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 to me at any time, they get to pie me in the face. And so I just saw one of them go downstairs. But she obviously doesn't have it memorized yet. But
does that go for us too, brother?
No. No, I'll be in the hospital. If that was the case. But you know, as was announced, my adopted father. So I came from many of you know my testimony. I came from a very horrible home life with an abusive father. And my friend as a kid in Sunday school was, his name was Mark. And their parents, Art and Dorcas, were in full-time ministry and sailors. As the ships go through the Welland Canal, he would board all the ships, talk to all the sailors from all over the world, give them Bibles and stuff that they bring back to those countries. It's just an amazing, it has been an amazing ministry that has actually ended. Due to COVID, they won't allow anyone on the ships anymore. And they actually had said to him about 15 years ago that he would be the last one that they would allow, that he would be able to continue. But then he continued to go to these ships and stand and give all these sailors rides to Walmart and the store, and he would counsel them and tell them about the Lord and help them with their marriage problems and these sorts of things, and continue to minister to them off the ships. So anyways, with him having COVID and very serious, I started to think about his legacy. And with that, looking at myself, examining myself, and asking myself, what does that mean to have a legacy? You know, and so that with the pie in the face, I started with Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's open in prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the time that we have to open up your word, to look at your word, to look at your son, to understand how you desire to use us, how we have, through your son, a great example on what to be and how to serve and what to do. And so we ask as we look through this that you would challenge us, challenge our hearts, change our hearts, so that we could be like your son, serve like your son. And with the strength that you give us, have an impact in this world for your son. In Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen.
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 So as I started to think about Art, my dad, every time I would look in Scripture and I would look at Jesus and I would study Jesus, I would see so much of him. I would see so much of Art because his desire to be like Christ and to serve like him and everything that he did. And with that, it always made it easier for me to see what Jesus was like because he was such an example. And as I looked through a lot of these verses and these sorts of things, I see Christ who is obviously our model on what we should be like and our example of what we should do. And with that, that we too can be examples to people for them to emulate and follow as we follow Christ. And the impact that we can have when we are like Jesus, when we're more like Jesus, the impact that we can have right now versus the impact that we could have tomorrow if we're more like Christ. And that should challenge us to be more and more like Jesus every single day. So we see in Hebrews chapter 12, a legacy of joy in the midst of difficulty. Jesus looking to the cross, suffering the cross, enduring the cross, but keeping his eye. So the sacrifice of Jesus so clearly by contrasting by what Jesus wanted to achieve versus the pain of his execution. The joy set before Jesus was his goal in redeeming the human race for no other reason than love. Love for the Father, love for us. You know, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. So with that understanding that the actions of Jesus Christ, what he did, who he was based on his character of love being part of that. You can't separate Jesus being love with the actions and the attitudes and the things that he did. And that should be a strong element in our lives as well. That love is such a part, it's so ingrained in us that it permeates to all those around us in everything that we do. You know, my adopted dad, Art, is like that. You know, I had a conversation with him last week on the phone, and he was all excited because there's this guy that he knows in Ontario in this assembly that he was preaching at, and this guy welded a whole bunch of these. He's got these metal track things that you put underneath the tire when it's stuck in the snow to help it get out of the snow. And they used to make those a long time ago, but now they make them out of plastic and they don't work that well. And so he's had these things for years. And whenever there's a big storm, he gets all excited because he drives around in his van looking for people stuck in the snow so he could dig them out and tell them about Jesus. This is what he gets excited. It's, you know. And so the man is in his 70s and he's still doing it. And so he found this guy who was making these for him so he could give them out to everybody. Like, he giving them out to people. This is such a ministry. It's such an awesome opportunity, you know? And how many people are actually saying, oh, yeah, Art, that sounds like a great idea. Thank you. Thank you. And then they just sit on the shelf, sit in the back of the vehicle. But he's right. What an incredible opportunity that if you love people, and you see them in this need, and not only do they have this practical need where they're stuck in the snow now also this is Canada, right? So a blizzard hits and nobody cares. Everybody goes out and gets in the road and everyone gets stuck, right? So, you know, they don't stay home. We got things to do. But this is a great example of love being a motivator. And then the difficulty of digging out vehicles when you're 73 years old in the snow and helping people. But the joy that he had in it. Now, Now, this isn't dying on the cross, you know, digging vehicles out of the snow. Understand the level of difficulty that we can endure for the sake of the joy of Christ and the motivation of love. It causes people to go into hostile countries all over the world and minister the gospel and risk their lives and do these things. This is how powerful it is. And Jesus is our ultimate example. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. The hope set before us shows us that Jesus is presented to us as an example, not of endurance only, but also of faith. Faith in the hope that we have. A hope that isn't just something in the distant future that, you know, we can forget about for now, but a hope that's tied to our faith, tied to love, that motivates us daily. In Hebrews 2:12, let's go back to 11. For he who sacrifices and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children God has given me. Jesus not only accomplishes his purpose to save humanity, but to also set an example, and that we are instructed to have our attention fixed on this, we read in Hebrews 12. And thus we have, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the mind of Christ. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'd like to focus a little bit on 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. So this example, this commitment that Jesus had is so strong, so powerful, that even persecution and tribulation unto death itself is an example. An example for us to follow. That's the level of commitment that we are capable of. Now, in contrast, I began to look at my own life and the level of my commitment, which led me to prayer of confession and repentance. And this is because this is a daily struggle. This isn't just something that we look at and go, okay, maybe in my life I'll do this. This is a daily commitment and a battle with the flesh, with selfishness. You know, you can ask any of these young people that have been on staff, what's the opposite of love? Not hate, selfishness. It's selfishness. It's thinking of yourself first, putting yourself first over anybody else, over God. And that's the opposite of love. Jesus wasn't selfish. He looked to please the Father. He looked to reconcile us. And he allowed himself to pay the ultimate sacrifice to have that happen. And so in our personal lives, that example, how does it measure up? Not just in the long term, but daily, because it can get pretty frustrating. You think sometimes of the discouragement that it takes to minister the gospel and to love people. You know, the amount of stories that my dad would have about boarding these ships, and they would have playing on the screen filthy videos of things that you would never want to see, blaring on purpose, just to distract him. You know, and you would always have to be careful not even to accidentally have his eye look in that direction, because they're watching. And the amount of time that he has poured himself into people only to have them eventually just, it almost looks like there's no fruit in it. And most of us can relate to this in at some point in our life and how discouraging it can be. And yet the motivation is love. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ as he's entering into town, and they're yelling, "Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna in the highest!" What's the next thing that he hears these people shouting? "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Well, what's his example? "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is our example. You want to talk about how discouraging that could have been. And he is worthy of everything. We're not even worthy of these things. We're just servants. We're serving because we've been forgiven and other people need to be forgiven. We're loved when we don't deserve to be loved, so we love. Jesus deserves our love, our adoration, our worship, our praise. And so this great example. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So even these difficult testings of our faith, these trials, we're told and commanded to consider it pure joy. Pure joy. Now that's a perspective. That's looking at a situation and changing your perspective, or as we might say biblically, renewing your mind. By looking at a situation and you say, "I must consider this pure joy." How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? How? Love and faith. Looking to Christ. He's the answer for that. He's the answer for that. And that changes our perspective on that situation. And this is the battle that we are in. And this is the battle we need to be in daily. And eventually, maybe not today, we will get to that as to why that is so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care." Also understand that you have a role to play. You have a role to play, and you're not the only one involved. God is working through you and through others and behind the scenes to accomplish his will. Sometimes we put all the pressure on us. Oh, I have to see that this person gets saved. I'm the one. I used to feel that way with my family. I was the only Christian in my family. And so much addiction, so much suicide, so much depression, so much hatred towards God in so many ways. And, oh, if I don't share with them the gospel, if I don't do this, they're never going to get saved. Me. I have to be the one because there's nobody else. It's not true. It wasn't true. And I saw God work using other people in their lives. And I've seen salvation come to my family, to cousins and nieces and my father himself. Why? Because God is great. Not because I studied apologetics at Emmaus Bible College. Look, that helps. You know, understanding apologetics, being willing to serve, willing to step out, God wants to use us. But understanding that we can be a part of the building process to be used by God, but he's the builder. Right? That too is a perspective. A perspective to leave it in the Lord's hands. To count it joy. That takes love and hope and faith. Faith in God is a lot stronger than faith in myself, I can tell you that. We see the example of the woman caught in adultery. And we're all familiar with that, right? All familiar with the story. They're trying to frame Jesus, set him up, do these things. And Jesus uses his words in ways that they leave. They drop their rocks and they leave. And he says to this woman, not only, where are your accusers? But I don't condemn you either. To have that kind of humility that Jesus has, mixed with his love and his grace towards this person. She was definitely an undesirable of society. The kind of person that people wouldn't associate with. The kind of person that you find on ships. Sailors have a reputation. And the stereotype is pretty true. I used to tell people that all the time when I was at the Yonkers Mission with the homeless men. There's a stereotype of homeless people. And it's almost always true. There's a reason. And they're the undesirable. And it takes some humility. And Jesus is as humble as you can get. And he's God in the flesh. Who are we? That we could ever think that we're actually lowering ourselves to minister to people. That instead we would want to judge them. And sometimes judging them is an out for us, because ministering to broken people is hard. It's hard. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot out of a person. It really does. And so it's easier sometimes to just judge them and say they're not worthy of my time and my love and my grace. But that is why Jesus has set such a high bar, such a high example for us to follow and be like, because anything that we're going to do can't even compare to his example. Now, that doesn't mean that every single person, you know, there's a great book by Warren Henderson about discipleship that I, if anybody wants to borrow, I'll let you borrow. And one of the things that he says in this book, he talks about there are few laborers. And sometimes there are people that consume so much of your time when there's other people that need to be ministered to. And I'm not saying that that isn't the case, because that's true. It's true. It takes discernment, right? But the reason isn't because they're not deserving, because they're too big of a problem, their life is too big of a mess, they're too much of a sinner, or we're too wonderful. You understand? That there is a difference there. And we see that. We see that with the example of Jesus. He told the disciples, shake the sandals from your shoes as you, the dust from your sandals as you leave town, and these sorts of things. There are times in which we say that is the case. It's a little rabbit trail, but I want to make sure that we understand. But that's not because we lack empathy or love. You understand? That's not the reason. It takes humility. And with that humility, there is an absolute connection between humility and the power to serve the Lord. James 4:6 tells us that God resists the proud. Resists the proud. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humility has a huge role in our application of grace towards other people. And so is our legacy, is what people think about us, is one of love and grace and humility towards others. Because we are to be like Christ. We are supposed to allow Christ to mold us into his image. We are to be a reflection of him. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And as we examine our life, not only should we look and ask ourselves, is this what we're like? But we should also be asking ourselves, how can I be more of this? What can I do to be more like Christ in these areas? What is my legacy in this way? Boy, you know, that guy was sure great at stock exchange. He kept his lawn beautiful. You know, I start to think about what would I say at Art's memorial, at his funeral. What would someone say about mine? What would someone say about yours? The man would drive 2.5 hours to Camp Lailolai on a regular basis with 3 chainsaws and cut up all the firewood for the camp every year by himself for the whole summer. And almost nobody knew that he even did it. How did the man even have the time or the strength to do this? Why? He saw the impact that camp had on kids, his adopted kids, you know, not just me, but dozens and dozens and dozens of kids that he brought into his home. Now, not everybody lived with him for months on end over and over again because their dad beat him up, their real dad, but the amount of kids that they had in their house constantly that he loved, that they adopted, dozens and dozens and dozens. The impact that camp had on in that helped him, you know, one of the other builders. He just saw it and just did it. Why? Love, faith, hope, humility, all these things work together. And not only so, but I want to touch on Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. You know, you often hear about finishing strong, and we look at people in the Bible and how their lives went, and sometimes they were like way up here in their service, you know. David's killing Goliath, and then he's with Bathsheba. I mean, you know, like we see these things. We know the difficulty of what it's like to have this flesh and be in a sinful world, right? And that is why he says, but to exhort one another every day. Every day. As long as it's called today. Why? So that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another. You know, Art's daughter, Debbie, is like a sister to me. And she was telling me about the only time her dad ever spanked her. So her and her friends wanted to go sledding. It was wintertime, it was to go sledding. And he's loading up all these tubes and sleds on the top of the station wagon, you know, getting them all ready and stuff. And the kid across the street, you know, doesn't have any friends, gets picked on, you know, doesn't have a good family life, sees that, and he's standing outside with his sled in his hand, just looking across the street, just not saying anything. And so Art sees it, he says, hey, come on with us. And Debbie was furious. She pouted, this is supposed to be a day with my friends and you bring this kid and I'm ashamed because he's a loser in my school and blah, 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 blah. And he spanked her. The only time he ever spanked her, she said. Why? She was so filled with pride and selfishness and arrogance that she lost sight of the opportunity to minister to the kid across the street. Just amazing. And here he is looking to encourage. Now, he was always looking to give examples. Like he would go tell people, hey, let's build some of these metal tire things and go out there and shovel vehicles out of the snow for Jesus, right? You know, hey, Jeff, hey, you know, there's there's this lady and her husband is a sailor and he's on the ships and he won't be back for 3 months and stuff like that. You want to come over with me and we'll do some yard work for her. We're gonna trim her hedges, cut her grass, clean up her yard, throw out the garbage, clean out her basin. We're gonna do all this kind of stuff for Jesus. Come on, let's, you know, and let's encourage me as an example and also bring me along to help. You know, and always a word of encouragement. You know, he taught me how to communicate. And he gave Paul an example. Jesus is an example. How to point out and encourage people whenever you can about the positive things that they're doing. And then you can also encourage them in a way and challenge them about things that maybe they're not doing. You know, he used to say, you really need to earn the right to speak into people's lives. You need to earn that right. He could tell just about anybody anything and they would receive it. Because he's earned that right as a servant, as someone who demonstrated unconditional love and grace and humility towards people. That he could challenge people in ways that most people can't. Because it wouldn't be received, but with him, they knew where it was coming from, and he's earned that right. These are some of the things that are his legacy. Right? And these things are things that make him like Christ, like Jesus. What about us? What's our legacy in these areas? Now, I'm just kind of scratching the surface of some of the things that I wanted to say, and I'll continue the next time. But we should be challenged to look to Christ so that we could be like Christ, that in turn, we could serve with more power, with more faithfulness, that our example would encourage other people, challenge other people, give other people hope, equip one another, be builders together, right? All of these things. Why? Because Jesus did it. He's asked us to do it. And he's done it for us. That's ultimately the reason, the motivation, maybe our desire. So for now, what I'm asking is that we should spend some time examining and thinking about what our legacy would be and how we could improve on that legacy starting today. And the way we do that is by following the example of Christ and being more like him in every way. And understanding, having faith and hope that what he has begun to do in us, he can and will complete in us. So when we say, that's not me, I can't do that, that we renew our minds and we say, yes, I can, because Jesus says so. God's word says so. And it's just an excuse, or it's fear, not love. Love casts out fear. Right? Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity for us to think about these few things. Think about your son and the great example that he is. Thankful for those who have gone before us throughout church history, ones that we can read about in your word, that were examples that looked to serve you in a way that would honor you, that looked to be more like your son, and therefore we're able to be used in a greater way. We ask that you increase our hope, our faith, that we would understand a deeper meaning of grace, and then therefore we could show this grace and love and apply it to others around us. Help us to be not only systematically looking for ways in which to serve you, but to be so much like Christ that wherever we are, it is impacting the world for you. And so with these things, we ask for wisdom, we ask for help, strength, and power. In Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.